This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Is a single-payer system the best idea for healthcare in the United States? More Democratic candidates for Congress and state offices are embracing the idea. The film Fix It, Healthcare at Its Tipping Point, will be shown on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in the Kalamazoo Public Library's Van Dusen Room. Eli Rubin is a Western Michigan University history professor. He's also president of Michigan for Single-Payer Healthcare. Bill Farmer is a member of the board of Michigan for Single-Payer Healthcare, as well as a member of the Southwest Michigan chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. Those two organizations are sponsoring the event at the library. Thank you both for being here.
Well, thank you, Gordon.
Thank you.
Make the case here, if you could, your elevator speech to somebody. I'll start with you, Eli Rubin. Why is a single-payer healthcare system the way to go for the United States?
Yeah, Gordon, thanks for the question. We have a system that is broken now, and there have been a lot of attempts to try to fix it, but the only thing that makes sense at this point is a single-payer Medicare for All universal healthcare system. We have a tremendous amount of people who either don't have insurance still, or they are in situations where they have insurance, but the insurance doesn't cover things, costs a tremendous amount. And we have 60% of the bankruptcies in this country are due to medical bills, probably more than that. And these are things that are unknown in other countries. In almost every single industrialized other country, there are different types of systems, but they all have universal health care. People simply don't have catastrophic bills. They don't have bankruptcies due to medical bills. They don't die because of lack of coverage. We also spend more than twice as much per capita as any other country on healthcare, and have a ranking that's somewhere around 45th in the world. So our system is incredibly inefficient, and simply put, it shouldn't matter whether or not you're rich or not, whether you live or die.
Bill, same thing. If somebody says to you, "I'm not crazy about a single payer system," how do you try to talk them into seeing your side of the argument?
Well, Eli has brought up some major points that reinforce our belief that single payer is the way to go. Of the more than 60% that Eli referenced, defaults, the bankruptcies claimed, 47% of those people have health insurance coverage. So even though you have health insurance coverage, there are many bills that are not covered by our current health care system. Also, our system is basically in private hands of insurance companies. What single payer does, it eliminates the profit motive out of delivering health care coverage to the country. By eliminating the profit motive, you eliminate what has been garnered anywhere between $400 and $500 billion a year of profit and overhead that doesn't go into health care provision. It goes to the profits of the private insurance companies. And that amount of money goes far in paying for a healthcare system where there are no deductibles, no co-pays, no co-insurance, and providing coverage for everybody in the country.
I think many people would agree with what you said at the beginning, that our current healthcare system is not working. The question might be, though, is a single-payer system, which isn't necessarily used in every other industrialized country, there are various forms, does a single-payer system work for a country as big as the United States, 325 million people, lots of differences by geography and where people live and demographics and those sort of things? Does a single-payer system fit for a country like the United States as opposed to something else?
Well, there are countries that are, quite large and span large different geographies that have it. And I would say that, we already have single payer systems in this country. Medicare is a single-payer system. The VA is a single-payer system. All that means is that the government reimburses doctors for their services, and the Medicare is good whether you're in the tip of, you know, Nome, Alaska, or whether you're in southern Florida. And it's an incredibly popular program. And we don't seem to have those problems with those programs. So I don't see any reason why simply extending Medicare, expanding and improving it to cover, as is proposed, to cover dental, vision, and no copays to everybody would somehow change that fact.
I'd have to agree with Eli 100%. All we need to do is look at existent structures within the federal government. Primary is our military. There's military facilities in almost every state in the country, including international places. And they are well-funded, and it's probably the most subsidized part of our economy, and by all indications, is very effective. Social Security is another example that we can look at that functions very high in delivering a service by the government as a collection of taxes, and that's a benefit that everybody takes advantage of and is available. We would be building on those kinds of structures and experience, and not only with our experience, but you know, business and the United States is big in finding the best solutions. There is no doubt that we can do that with our health care delivery system.
Vermont tried a single-payer system, or was going to at the state level, decided that they weren't going to go through with it because they thought it would be too large of a tax increase to pay for it. Why would that be different at the national level?
Well, I think that to some degree, it was simply a failure of political will in Vermont. You know, it was the governor who decided that the tax increase would be too large, and he didn't have to decide that. I think that you're seeing, number one, that that happened. So a couple of reasons why I think that that happened. It happened in 2013, and it was a very different climate than it is now. We've seen opinion polls change drastically just in the last 18 months, in part because of Bernie Sanders' candidacy, in part because of the work of organizations like the DSA, and to some smaller degree, our organization, Michigan for Single Payer. Advocating and going out there, we've seen opinion polling climb from something like, you know, 50% of Americans in favor of this to now 70%, and even 52% of Republicans in favor of it. The reality is that under Medicare for All, 95% of people will save money in the long run. I pay, you know, over $10,000 a year in premiums for my family plan, and my employer kicks in another $12,000 or $13,000. If my taxes were to go up by $5,000, which is the general estimate now, you know, it's an estimate, but that's the general estimate, and that $10,000 were to go away out of my pocket and $13,000 to go away out of my employer's pocket, and I were to get the same coverage, I mean, once you tell people that, the light goes on. There are very few people who will listen to that and say, no, I'd still rather pay the $10,000 and have my employer fork over another $13,000, which are costs that get passed along. So, I mean, I think that the political situation is different. The healthcare situation is different. That was still in the early days of Obamacare when people were hoping that it would work as promised, and it hasn't. So those are some of the reasons I think it can work now.
What would be the details of a single-payer system? I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about it, but let me just throw out one example of a question I think people might have. Who decides what exactly does get covered under a single-payer system? Is that some sort of federal bureaucracy? Is there some sort of a commission somewhere that makes those final calls?
And the decision would not involve health insurance carriers or executives from insurance carriers. The decision on health care under a single-payer system would be determined by your practitioner, your doctor, and the patient. That's where the decision for what services needs to be done, what tests, that's the place that decisions are made. All too often currently, those decisions aren't made by the doctors and their patients. It's made by a health insurance executive.
And again, it wouldn't be any different than Medicare is now, although the bills that are in Congress would be expanded and improved Medicare. So it's specifically written into the law that it would cover dental and vision. And, you know, 93% of Americans are happy with Medicare, more than that, 95%. 93% of doctors take Medicare. Part of the reason is, as Bill said, it's one thing when the government is in charge of deciding what things are available, it means it's democratically accountable. It means that if you don't like what Medicare is providing, you can run for office, you can vote for a candidate who will promise to pass laws to make Medicare include massage therapists if for some reason it doesn't, right? That's democratically accountable. Right now, and every one of us has a story like this, like Bill was saying, you have a friend who's got cancer. He needs I had a good friend from college who had cancer. He needed a treatment that was still experimental. And the insurance company said no. There was nowhere to go. There was no one to talk to. There was no person you could. There was no election. There's nothing you can do. You're completely at the mercy. And they say no because they know that there's a good chance. They knew there was a good chance he was going to die. And that was how they save money and make profits, is by withholding that treatment.
Eli Rubin and Bill Farmer, thank you both for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
The film Fix It, Healthcare at the Tipping Point will be shown at the Kalamazoo Public Library Thursday night at 7 o'clock in the Kalamazoo Public Library's Van Dusen Room. The event is sponsored by Southwest Michigan Democratic Socialists of America and Michigan for Single-Payer Healthcare. You can find links with more information at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.